Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our theme for today is initiation, and I think as the show progresses you'll discover that initiation is a spiritual term, but it's more appropriate to take a quote from Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey, by the way, is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and all the dialogue that emanates from this show you'll find in the works of Alice Bailey in any of the 24 volumes. Sometimes subject can be found in more than one of the books. Back to initiation, though, and her quote. Initiation marks the passing into a higher grade of consciousness and the realization of an increasing unity with all that lives and the essential oneness of the self with all selves. Well, that's a lot said there, and as usual, Alice Bailey needs some further explanation. Sarah, can you explain what the opening quote means?
I'm not sure, but I can try. As I was listening to you make your opening remarks, I wondered how many people in our audience immediately conjured up a picture of a college fraternity entrance rite or some secret society where you put on silly hats and have to do goofy things. That's not the kind of initiation we're talking about. In fact, it's a deeply sacred concept that is found in a lot of the world's mystery traditions. It might not be called initiation, but the concept is well anchored in human spiritual consciousness. I suppose a parallel would be that in all aspects of life, as one grows in understanding, there are periodic recognitions and demarcations of the expanded understanding that are noted, and once one has passed into that wider realm, one is capable of more responsibility, more authority. For example, in traditional education, the passing of exams and the achieving of degrees is a traditional rite of the young person. Well, in the life of the soul, the initiation process marks certain forward movements, although that isn't really appropriate. The mind always tends to want to anchor these recognitions in a kind of a form-oriented way. So we start speaking of moving upward or outward, and yet we're talking about consciousness. So one isn't going anywhere. But the best we can do is to say that initiation might be compared to tossing a pebble into a still pond. It sets up ripples that radiate out from where the pebble struck the water and forms concentric circles that then spread outward in wider and wider arcs. And I like to think of initiation and the effect on consciousness in that way, that every initiation connotes a wider and more inclusive consciousness. What do you think?
Yeah, that's right. And I was thinking, you mentioned about the being initiated into the college fraternity, which it is not what we're talking about, but it's like the commencement, too, because initiation really means making of a beginning, and that's what a commencement is at college. You graduate, but you're not finishing up. In effect, you are finishing college, but you're commencing your real life into society, into the world. And so initiation is like that too, the spiritual initiation. It's entrance into something greater,
mm-hmm.
into a spiritual life. The man who, or the person who takes the initiation is one who has taken the first step into the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God.
And it always marks a wider sense of identity, don't you think? It isn't that one moves out of one's present being into another stage of being so much as I think it means that you incorporate or you expand your identity to include more and more of the whole.
That's right. And as it says, it's in the quote there, it's passing into a higher grade of consciousness. And I think in the realization of an increasing unity with everything that lives.
Yeah, I think that's an important theme. It again is affirming that you don't leave behind. Well, you do. We'll get to that in a while. But you don't leave behind your capacity to identify with loved ones and with what one has considered one's family and group, but that those concepts of family and group and the objects of one's love and identification expand to include more and more.
Yes, you never lose that touch with what you're leaving behind, in effect, but it's always there, but you just understand it in the context of the larger whole.
Mm-hmm. The idea of the essential oneness of the self with all selves is really the ongoing effect of initiation, which is a continuing process. We're not talking about just one event. It's a progressive series of events. And according to the ageless wisdom, there are either 5 initiations or 7 or 9, depending on spheres of consciousness that are so far beyond all of us that I don't even think it's worth going into them, because it results in theorizing and surmising about levels of consciousness that really, I believe, aren't our business, because we're not ready to even venture into those territories. But my point is that it's progressive and is not just one experience. The first two initiations, which we will talk about in a while, are within the experience of large numbers of humanity, and so that's where our focus can be. But there are some ideas from the writings of Alice Bailey about initiation that I think are very thought-provoking. One is that initiation is simplification, she says. And that, I think, is an effect that anybody who's endeavoring to tread the spiritual path can verify, that a developing spiritual consciousness, a spiritual approach to life, requires and also makes inevitable a growing simplification. I think one kind of pares down the different elements of life because they no longer matter so much.
Yeah, the details tend to drop away and you begin to realize the underlying synthesis of life and all the outer patterns of life and the close connection on the inner side. And all the details tend to, as I say, pass away and become less and less important.
The extensions of life, as Alice Bailey calls them. You can either lead a life that's really oriented towards spiritual growth and spiritual realization, or you can allow yourself to diverge onto tangents. And those are what she calls extensions. They take you out just like an extension cord running away from the main line does. They take you away from the central theme of the developing spiritual consciousness. So simplification, I think people can visualize in that sense. It's a honing in on and a unifying of one's energy and consciousness on what one understands as reality. And that idea of what reality is ever unfolding, of course. But there's a great deal about life on the outer material level that one realizes has very little to do with reality. And those things drop away, and that's where simplification comes in.
Didn't Ellis Bailey say that Christ's life is a reenactment of initiation?
Yes. In fact, she wrote a book from Bethlehem to Calvary that traces the stages, the major stages and achievements of the life of Christ, and relates them to the five major initiations that culminate in mastery.
First, these are stages that most everybody is familiar with, like the birth in Bethlehem. That's the first initiation. That's an obvious one that we celebrate every Christmas, every year.
But how does it apply to one of us? We know that Jesus is mm-hmm. said to have been born in Bethlehem, but how does that apply to the spiritual seeker?
Well, it's being born again. This phrase, born the new person, the new man is born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.
And then you become a fundamentalist Christian.
Perhaps, if that's your calling, yes.
But what if you're say Jewish or Muslim or Hindu?
Well, you have to take these as symbolic. In their symbolic understanding, in their symbolic meaning. The birth doesn't mean necessarily the birth of a child or the birth of the Christ. It's called the birth of the birth of the Christ within you.
Or the conversion to Christianity. It doesn't mean that.
No, it doesn't mean that. It's simply the awakening of the soul, basically. Within the person, and that's the first initiation really has to do with awakening of the soul, and that first the impact of that first contact with the soul.
We've talked about that in other programs about mm-hmm. the Christ principle that abides in every human heart, not just in the Christian, but in everyone.
It doesn't have anything to do really with Christianity or with any religion, mm-hmm. actually. that may sound blasphemous, but it's really the awakening of the soul and the qualities of the soul within the heart, within the person, and this is a definite stage of awakening that every person will go through, has gone through, at some time in the life cycle of the soul, which they are.
What about the other initiations?
The second initiation is called the baptism, the birth, the baptism, and you know, in the life of Jesus, that came at around the age 30.
It did? I thought it came when he was about 12.
No, that's when he preached in the temple. Ah. But baptism was in the Jordan, you know, under John the Baptist, baptized Jesus. This is also a major stage, and this represents the time when there is a need for purification mm-hmm. in the life, and the emphasis is upon purification and recognition of the Holy Spirit within, and the clearing away of the impediments to the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God.
And one thing that's interesting in what you've just said is that initiation covers a vast period of time, and the fact mm-hmm. that the first initiation of birth in Bethlehem was followed only much, much later by the second initiation underscores the fact that there's a very, very long time between the first initiation, when one kind of turns one's life around and really orients one to the spiritual path. There is a very long period where one gets one's bearings, so to speak, and stabilizes oneself in this new direction. Only much later does one prepare for the second initiation, which is the purification of the emotions, the clearing out of all the emotion and desire that color our attempts to think.
And that's one of the most difficult initiations stages to get through, because it does involve so many of the our own deeply seated emotional feelings and thought forms that we carry around with us that shape and condition our outer life, our personality life. So
many people, I think they think, when in fact they basically react to emotion and desire, and that includes all of us. We don't realize how our world and our consciousness are just permeated by the emotional stuff of life, of the world. Yeah. Not only our own emotional stuff, but the world's, humanity's stuff.
It's a great testing period, so it's kind of a long period that takes a number of lives to get through, because it does involve all of that clearing away of all the debris that we've been carrying around all these lifetimes.
And moving right along, the third initiation.
It gets a little bit more obscure. It's the experience that called the Transfiguration that happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Christ made contact with the will of God, with the Father aspect, and
he was transformed before the eyes of the three disciples. The lower life is transformed and made radiant by
that's
divine
the stage
will.
Where the emphasis is on perfection, I think. And the statement comes out, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And that's where the emphasis on reaching and striving for perfection comes, in those words of Christ. And then following that, of course, was the crucifixion.
The fourth initiation.
Uh-huh. And that's one of the more painful.
Renunciation is another name for it.
It's called, in esoteric terms, esoterically, it's called a great renunciation, because it's that stage where the one renounces or lets go of the body of the soul, what's called the causal body.
And opens oneself to pure spirit, pure divine life.
The pure divine life of the monad, or the Father aspect. And then, of course, after that comes the 3 days later, Christ experienced the resurrection. And so those represent the five stages that every human being will have to go through.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is initiation, which has a lot to do with higher levels of spiritual consciousness and what the steps are to achieve that state of mind. And many people ask us, what is Lucis Trust all about? Who are you? And we're a spiritual philosophy organization, and probably the best thing we can do is send you out a general package of information. Of course, there's no charge for that general package of information. So give us a call. We'll be happy to send that information out to you. There's a lot that you'll find that's of interest. It'll be informative in respect to when our meetings are, how to become more involved. There are no requirements. We're not a religion, but a lot of people like to attend our meditation meetings and other meetings that we have. So if you'd like that general package of information, please call us up on that toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And we'll send that out to you. We'll send all that information. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, by the way, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. It would be really a great help to us to keep this program going if you do so. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, that's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you want that package of information, once again, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247, or the easy way is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS, NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. And back to our topic, we're talking about initiation, which has a lot to do with spiritual consciousness. And why do you think there is so much mystery and misunderstanding surrounding the idea of initiation?
Oh, I think there are probably a number of causes. For one thing, initiation pertains to areas of experience and understanding that, unless one has direct personal experience, really cannot be explained. And yet here Dale and I are trying to do this program explaining initiation. But you run the risk of venturing into territory about which very little can or should be said. So that's part of the mystery, because it has to be experienced directly and personally through one's own conscious, dedicated efforts. Another reason is that it's been held up in a kind of a spiritually glamorous way as a sign of attainment and of spiritual status that is really wrong. But it is an approach that a lot of not very good writers and teachers have contributed to, this idea that spiritual status is conferred by initiation, and if you are claimed to be of a particular initiation, you are then entitled to look down on those who are lesser. A true initiate of any degree never makes a claim regarding status, never. That breaks a fundamental spiritual law. Those who know don't talk about it and don't claim it. And as we said in the opening comments, the idea of initiation is that the consciousness becomes more and more inclusive. So why would you then take the step of separating yourself and of creating a barrier between yourself and the rest of your fellow human beings, which is what you do when you claim status? You're saying, I know something you don't know. I've achieved something you haven't achieved. That goes directly against the whole idea of initiation, which is to incorporate larger and larger realms of life within your consciousness and within your identification. Right. So that's a sign that they don't know what they're talking about.
But I think also there's maybe some confusion about some of the words, the terms used, like Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. Immediately you hear the word Christ consciousness and you think, well, that has to do with Christianity, mm-hmm. when in fact it doesn't. I mean, it can, but it's really about a state of consciousness and not about a person. It's not about this being of Christ or of Jesus. It's about a state of consciousness that they demonstrated, or that Jesus Christ demonstrated in his life, which was an all-inclusive expression of the love, the divine love of God. And this is what is meant by the Christ consciousness. It has nothing to do with any particular religious affiliation, really. It's a consciousness of the soul, essentially, the pure, radiant, loving consciousness of the soul. And that is open to everyone, no matter what your religious affiliation is or is not. This level of consciousness, this quality of consciousness, has not to do with being. It has to do with the quality of love, essentially.
Another problem, I think, that has obscured the understanding of initiation is that it's so often associated with ceremony. And we talked about initiation rites in fraternities. That's one truly goofy example of initiation. There are certain men's clubs that I think involve initiation rites, and we've all probably seen hilarious comedic routines on those rites. Jackie Gleason, I think, used to enact them, and they're funny. But when you put so much emphasis on ceremony, you run the risk of contributing to a travesty of an essentially deeply sacred and spiritual event, because the human mind is so caught up by the form world that when we try to convey these spiritual experiences in ceremony, they become kind of absurd. But one ceremony I can think of that I think might give us some sense of initiation in a more pure sense, any of us who have seen the film footage of when Queen Elizabeth was coronated in 1953, that's an example in a worldly sense of essentially an initiation rite, I think. Would you agree?
Yes, I think the British have this very strong tradition of ceremony, and I think because they understand more of the meaning behind it.
And behind all of that outer paraphernalia with the scepter and the crown and all that, there are deep spiritual implications. Yeah. So the point is, the outer shouldn't obscure the inner meaning. And unfortunately, the emphasis on ceremony gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. Is initiation something completely beyond most of us, is it?
I don't know. I think that, in my opinion, would have to be answered by every person individually. But we're told in the writings of Alice Bailey that humanity, large numbers of humanity, are preparing for or have taken the first initiation. Maybe we can talk about that in our next program. Certainly anybody who is oriented and serious about the spiritual life should gain some understanding of what lies ahead of him, and we're talking about a very long road.
Yeah, I don't think... I think we are ready to understand this concept, now the actual spiritual meaning behind some of these higher initiations, like the fourth and the fifth initiation, and incidentally there are more beyond that gets into the real esoteric teachings, and yeah, that does take a while to grasp, but certainly the experience and the meaning behind the first and two initiations would be within the realm of possibility.
Mainly, I suppose, the concluding point to have in mind is that initiation is the result of self-effort and not something that's conferred upon someone by some outside source. Mm-hmm. It's self-effort.
And once again, if you'd like that package of information that we spoke about before, we'll be happy to send it out to you, free of charge, of course. Give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, and we'll send that package of information out to you free of charge. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.